A video has been circulating online called Plandemic. It claims to tell the story, the true story behind the COVID-19 pandemic. The viral video has had more than 7 million views on social media, and that was before YouTube and Facebook took it down for selling dangerous misinformation about the current pandemic. The Slick production alleges, among other things, that Bill Gates and the U.S. Infectious Diseases Director Anthony Fauci are using the current crisis to make money and to gain power. There are other claims in the video as well, and that they are also saying that the disease was developed in a laboratory. Conspiracy theories are often shared online, and information, misinformation is very easy to spread. But why are people attracted to conspiracy theories? And what is it about COVID-19 that is particularly susceptible? I'm joined now by Maya Goldenberg, who is an associate professor at the University of Guelph. She researches the philosophy of science and medicine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's go to the heart of this one. What is it about conspiracy theories that attracts people?
Well, first let's define what a conspiracy theory is. It's an explanation for an event or situation that involves secretive actions by powerful groups, and they often have political motivation. So what's attractive about them is, first, they're very compelling. They tend to be really wild claims about massive secretive actions and seriously evil agents with evil plans. If it sounds like a John le Carré novel, it's probably a conspiracy theory. So what's compelling about them is that one, they're unfalsifiable. Because there's so much secrecy involved in it, it is near impossible to prove it to be absolutely false. So a person that holds on to conspiracy theory, you are unlikely to ever convince them otherwise. Also, they're kind of convincing because they take a kernel of truth and they really run with it. So they take something like the idea that there are corporate interests influencing the national health plan, and then they take it to a wilder conclusion, like that these corporations actually want to kill citizens. They're also, in some ways, comforting to people because they weave a far more complete story than what we have in front of us. There's so much uncertainty and unknown about the COVID-19 pandemic. How's it going to go? How are we going to get out of this? That you suddenly have a far more coherent story than what you actually get when you see these bits of information sort of popping up around us.
Maya, what is it about the COVID-19 situation specifically that has drawn people to look at conspiracy theories? You're talking there about fear and comfort, and that seems to be at play here.
Yeah, there's a lot of research into who gets drawn into to sort of conspiratorial thinking. And one strong characteristic is these feelings of discomfort during times of distress. So there's been historical research on when have populations gravitated towards conspiracy theories, and they're usually times of great upheaval and crisis. So in the American research, there was a peak in conspiratorial thinking during the Vietnam War, and now it's not surprising that you might see another peak again because things are so in flux. Things are so up in the air. The people that find conspiracy theories most compelling are people that have low trust in the integrity of government and government agencies.
So, can I just ask you something? You said that you said at the top there that people who are prone to this may not be able to be convinced. And you just said now that it has a lot to do with fear. If one allays those fears or provides information, does that allow for a possibility to move people away from conspiracy theories and be able to present fact or science?
Yes, that's probably the best strategy. Apparently trying to take down a person's conspiratorial thinking is never going to work, precisely for that claim that, you know, there's always going to be gaps in the information that can get filled by this compelling narrative. Instead, what you want is high public trust in government, high public trust in our institutions, and then those narratives will start to sound pretty wild and less likely to be believed.
It's very early days right now to do an analysis, so I'm not exactly sure if this goes in the right direction too early. But is it possible that right now people are searching for all of those answers and are not getting enough information, or do you feel that enough information has been provided so far to help allay some of the conspiracy theories?
It's sort of mixed. It kind of depends where you live and what your news sources are. I actually think The Canadian government is actually doing quite a good job with in terms of shoring up public trust. There's actually been some data showing that Canadians trusting government is higher. As of April, it was higher than it was prior to the outbreak of the pandemic. And the kind of things that heighten public trust in government is frequent communication and that feeling that the government is being responsive and acting in the interests of the public. So the fact that Trudeau's on the TV giving statements almost every day, the fact that governments are deferring to scientific experts, that those are signs that our governments are actually responding meaningfully. If you compare what's going on in the U.S., totally different story there. There's such levels of incompetence in terms of the response to the pandemic that people are going to be looking for other ways to make sense of the situation.
You've done a lot of research into vaccine hesitancy and what makes parents prone to reject vaccinations. And that's another area where you see a big conversation about what is true, what is not true, and how much trust there is in public health officials specifically. What are some of the things in that scenario that contribute to parents believing that vaccines are dangerous when science shows them that the risk may be minimal?
In the research that I did, and I looked specifically at childhood vaccines and why parents hesitate about it, I came to see it as faltering on hesitation about vaccines correlate to the trust people have in scientific institutions and government bodies. So it maps onto the current public response, public attitudes towards COVID response in the same way. The basic idea is that if you trust the system, you'll likely trust the recommendations, including vaccine recommendations. If you don't think the scientific institutions and the government agencies that are tasked with protecting public health and well-being are doing their job well, then you're not going to follow their recommendations.
I hear you saying the word trust over and over and over again, and clearly this is one of the key elements here. What contributes to people having such distrust of science and government?
The contributors are the extent to which they feel the extent to which people feel that their interests are being represented by government, so you'll find marginalized communities will have lower trust in government because they don't think that their concerns and their interests are being properly managed. In the context of hesitancy around vaccines, there's a lot of research, asking parents, why are you unsure about vaccines, considering the scientific consensus says that you should be very confident about vaccines. And it always seems to come back to questions about the integrity of the research. Financial conflict of interest in biomedical research is a huge sticking point for the public. And the fact that little has been done to sort of curtail that industry influence speaks to systems of power that are not listening to the interests of the public.
Well, there's an interesting challenge for officials. If you were able to sit down with government officials and medical professionals and offer them some ideas about how to better communicate so that people do have that foundational sense of trust, what would you tell them to do?
There's a lot of research into how primary healthcare providers should be talking to their patients about difficult subjects like vaccines. It's definitely been noticed among vaccine hesitant parents that their narrative of how they came to, let's say, join a vaccine skeptical group and eventually even refuse vaccines, it often starts with an interaction with a healthcare provider where their questions about vaccines were shut down and dismissed. So the first thing you need to do is speak openly and let people ask questions. And the second one is actually to respond to their concerns. If the public largely thinks that biotechnologies are not being properly vetted because of industry influence, then that's actually a good reason to create more arm's length between industry influence and health technologies.
Maya, thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's been a pleasure.
I've been speaking with Maya Goldenberg. She's an associate professor at the University of Guelph, and she researches the philosophy of science and medicine.